And I'm here with the lovely Paul Andrews, and we're having a weekly chat up on the Business Bunker. And we're in a positive mood, aren't we, Paul? Because the sun's shining.
Yeah, we are. And, the whole of this show has tried to focus on more positive aspects, those kind of businesses that are doing well out while we're locked down or expect to recover or are doing nice things. So I thought after a few weeks of, all the negativity that's been going on, it would be rather nice to look at some of the positive aspects.
I agree. And, I mean, God, the weather does make a difference when you're working from home, because my new husband and I are sharing the loft office, which is where I am now. And we don't really have, I mean, we've got two Veluxes, but it gets very hot in here. I've got my blind down. I've got a special Velux blind that I had made. It bakes, absolutely bakes. And you do feel a bit. I like to sort of see out, and you do feel a bit in a loft. It's not quite the same.
Sure. Talking about baking and stuff, though, the last couple of days have been weird, hasn't it? It was blooming cold last night.
My goodness. I mean, I don't know if you saw our dinner, because I get stir
And
crazy.
can I ask a question?
Only this once.
As it was so cold last night, and you all had 4 layers of gilets on,
Oh, you saw.
why was your new husband wearing shorts?
He honestly, he's like the postman. The
Is
shorts
he?
come out, the legs come out. He thinks he's got great legs.
All right,
And the legs come out in March, and that's it, just like your postman.
okay.
And then in the evening, it was freezing, and we had a really nice organic lamb's liver, which I can't get delivered at the moment, but because Riverford have really pared down what you can get, and I understand that because they're full to capacity with new clients, new customers, and so they're making sure that everybody gets the basics. So my lamb's liver is not anymore, but I had some in the freezer, and I'm eating, as you probably are, and most people at home will be. You're using up everything. You're so grateful for those boxes that you get delivered of your veg and your fruit. You're using up everything, and I had an abundance of bananas. I had a lovely bunch.
I've got a lovely bunching.
I
Oh
had an
dear.
abundance, and I made a mistake, Paul, of putting them in the fridge.
Your
They
bananas.
bananas don't like fridges.
Now they go brown.
They've gone brown, and
Yeah.
now I've put them on my windowsill to try and perk them up,
Nah.
and they taste like plantain.
You know, the only thing you can do now is make a smoothie out of them.
Now, I tried that, and it's not sweet, it's because they're, it wasn't great. So, because I do a green smoothie, and the banana just gives it. So, what I'm going to do, Paul Andrews, I've thought about this, because it tastes like a plantain. I'm going to do a lovely beef stew. I've got some, what's it called, oxtail in my freezer, which I bought from the amazing Salvatore meat suppliers. They're wholesalers. But what they thought was that I was a chef. I mean, he's been on my show, but he couldn't remember. So I've got this huge, great big oxtail that won't fit in any pan at all. And when it came, we completely panicked, and there was a whole bit of beef shin, but it's not like you get all nicely sliced at the butcher. It's a great big shin. You
You
don't
got
even
to
put
chop
it
it
in.
up yourself.
I know. And because it came on a work day, and we couldn't cope, and the new husband had a tantrum, and he had, calls to make, he put it in the freezer. So now not only is it huge, it's frozen.
It's frozen.
And I called some of my chefs, and I said, "Have you got an axe or something that we can use?" So I've said to him, while the weather is sort of inclement still, and we're getting these cold nights, because in summer you won't want to eat an oxtail, it's
No.
too heavy. So I'm going to make the new husband get it out tonight. This is his Friday night fun.
Right.
Defrost it. Tomorrow he'll hack it, probably in the garden, because it's huge. I mean,
Yeah,
it is an owl.
shrapnel.
And then I shall put my plantain, which is really a banana, in that.
Oh, faux plantain.
What do you think? Do you think it'll work?
Oh yeah, it's bound to,
Yeah,
bound to.
a little bit of Jamaican spice. I expect Tracy will know all about that. Taisy.
Jamaica.
Yeah, she'll know about Jamaican spice.
Jamaica.
Yeah. No, I haven't made it
No,
yet.
yeah,
Friday.
no. See, you weren't on the ball there, were you?
No.
I teed that up and you missed the cue.
I did get it, but
Yeah.
I was thinking of something else. I was thinking actually how hot it is in my loft office.
Yeah.
So the new husband's out in the garden working, and he's got suntan factor 50 on, and a hat, and it's lovely. But when it's cold,
don't start with hats again.
No, I wouldn't do that, Paul. But I was interested in Catherine Bedford, who's coming on the show today.
Yep.
I say today, although we're doing a pre-record, it will be today. And
she's
been
on. She was on earlier.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
One you done earlier.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, no, I haven't done it yet, but by the time people listen to this, they would have already heard Catherine.
So I'm interested because the new husband, as you know, has a habit of falling off bikes.
Yeah, yeah,
not wearing a helmet. And we did have a really bad time when he fell off, and he was like ill for six months when he was writing his book. But
she's got another hat.
So
is that a bike helmet?
No.
With a turban wrapped around it.
It's Maharaja. It's
lucky you can't see this. She's got a Maharaja's turban on for some reason.
You can take a photo with your phone, you know.
Yeah, we could, but I'm not going to.
Which is what I do.
I'm not encouraging you. That's the thing.
I got this out of Shay Serkin's dressing up box. So
hold on.
Anyway, I thought that it was quite apt that it's the nearest thing I've got to a bike helmet. But I love what Catherine's doing, because I don't know about you, where you live, you're a bit more rural, but where we live on the seafront, I have never seen so many cyclists, bikes, you name it, all out there, and it's incredible. And she makes them out of aren't they sustainable?
I don't know. Well, you'll have to listen to the interview, won't you?
Well, I will, with bated breath. Are you taking a picture of me in my Maharaja?
I have, yes.
Smiling, was I?
Yeah, you were. I've already done it.
Oh, okay. I would have strike a pose. And then we've also got the amazing Brant McNaughton, who's a regular, really, in the old days at Romney Marsh.
Well, he was. He's not been on for a long, long time. It's his 20th anniversary, though. He's been 20 years in the creative industry. So I thought it was about time we had him back on.
Yeah.
And they're doing loads of interesting stuff. So I wanted to talk to Brant again.
I've lost track.
No, he's from New Zealand.
Is he? Oh, yeah, fish and chips.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Please tell me who your sponsor is.
The sponsor is Thackeray Williams, the law firm.
Fabulous.
And we're very grateful to them for doing this as well. But I wanted to talk to you about positive things and about a bit of localism. Because one of the things that has struck me during this lockdown, during the pandemic, is how so many small businesses have risen to the challenge.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and have helped people out. You know, they've moved to local deliveries. Our local pub now, we got a thing from them. We've got a new pub just up the road from us called the Pig and Sty, which only opened about a year ago.
Great name. What was it before?
Oh, it's...
A pig sty.
Oh, it was a restaurant before. It's been an Indian restaurant.
Oh,
it's been a Japanese restaurant.
That's not the food poisoning Indian restaurant, is it? Where you had food poisoning?
No.
Okay.
No. That's a different one.
Okay.
And this has been empty for a long time. Anyway, they spent a lot of money building a pub, bistro restaurant place called Pig and Sty. Excellent. Very good. It's a village called Betherston.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, they had to shut down. During the lockdown, but they emailed us a couple of days ago saying, right, they're now open for takeaways.
Do? Do you take your own dish? Because I was thinking, if I had a takeaway, I'd take my own dish.
Well, no, they're using takeaway throwaways, you know. Fabulous. The silver foil dishes and stuff.
Okay. A lot of I had an email from the Boy and Oyster, Paul, in Margate, which is a really nice restaurant where we did a slow puff actually not long ago, and they are hoping to open. I think that the news last week when we spoke made people sort of kick into step, and you know, although they know it probably won't be till July, hopefully, if we don't get spikes, they're preparing now, and of course takeaway is going to be a big thing.
Yeah.
And we talked last week about how it will be very difficult to pay staff, to pay a chef if you've only got 12 covers or 6 covers. Yep. I was wondering whether, you know, this would be for more wealthy people, but whether you could sort of hire the restaurant and do like a fine dining sort of evening.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you've still got the swabbing down and the toilet issue.
I think if the government relax some of the restrictions, and the only way they can do that is by saying, you know, you can only open for a certain amount of time and you can only have a certain amount of people and there must be a certain amount of social distancing. I think every, she's at it again, listeners, she's at it again. She's got a fedora on now. There's only a certain amount of things you can do, but you can be a little bit innovative around what you do. And one of the things that I was thinking about was things like memberships and stuff like that. So
how would a membership work?
Well, you make it a bit more exclusive. I don't know, because it all depends what the government says as a rule. But let's just take some made up numbers. Let's say that you could comfortably handle 10 tables socially distanced. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you could do is say, look, we've got 10 tables here. You can pre-book with a membership, but what we're having is only the same people ever in the restaurant.
Okay, so it would be like almost like the government said you can choose 10 friends.
Exactly.
And am I on your 10 friend list?
Oh, I don't know. Ooh, all depends.
Hesitation there, listener.
All depends. Yeah. All depends.
Yeah. He actually turned his screen off then for a minute.
Yeah, no. I was worried I couldn't go out because I didn't know 10 people.
Well, I mean, I think the membership thing, so would they pay a sort of monthly fee or something?
Yeah, so basically...
So the restaurant knows what they've got coming in. They know what to order and they know that they've got enough to pay their staff.
Yeah, exactly. So basically you can manage it. Okay. So you're basically managing your space by knowing what's coming in. So you're not just taking random orders. You know, you can pre-book your spaces. You can still pre-book your takeaways and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing from a safety point of view means that you know who's ever, you know, there's only a maximum number of people ever in the restaurant and they're always the same people.
Yeah. And then they would be people that hopefully you know and trust.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You know that. Yeah. I mean, the only thing with this virus, that's this vicious virus, as you called it last week, which I really like the name of that, vicious virus, is that they're saying that you can have it but not have symptoms. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because if somebody had, you know, flu, cough, cold, sweating, you know it. And you don't go out, hopefully, and you don't spread it. But where they're saying that some people just don't get any, and they are saying that there's different symptoms, like some people get sickness and diarrhea, and some people lose their sense of smell. So that is the only trouble.
But there's also a load of stuff going around at the moment. I don't know what the veracity of it is, but there's lots of things going around saying that various reports are showing that they think, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people have actually had it.
Yeah.
I read, you know, 1 in 4 and 1 in 25 and all kinds of numbers. The problem that we don't really know, as far as I can see from what I've seen, is we don't know if you become immune once you've had it.
No, we don't. And even, you know, they say that you can be immune after having mumps, but still people do get it again. It's rare, but you know, some people do for some reason. Antibodies are a strange thing. I have told you about my thyroid antibodies on occasion.
Your thyroid?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had a thyroid problem.
Yeah,
really.
No, thyroid antibodies.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned it ever.
They can be terrible.
Yeah.
Talking about the small local businesses, I mean, my plumber, John Harris, who's based here in Whitstable area, I had suddenly saw all this water flooding out of a little white pipe at the top of our house. Now, you being a bloke would know what that
was. That's called an overflow pipe, Jules.
Yeah, well, I shrieked and it was like gushing down like a stream. Uh-huh. And I called him and...
Your ball cock's stuck.
That was what it was. And he hopped up the ladder. But we were very careful. I've got an intercom, so I let him in. I didn't see him. He knows my house, luckily. Yeah. So he just said, he said in a plumber voice, I'll just go upstairs, right? He sucked through his teeth a couple of times, as they do. And then he went up with his own ladder. And he didn't touch anything. He had a mask on. and I didn't really see him. I'll probably get a bill, but you know, that's it. So I was really impressed with John.
Well, this is the problem with so many people not thinking rationally about things. You've got all these people going, oh, right, so a plumber can come to my house, but my mum can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're going, yeah, but you haven't thought this through at all, have you? If you have an emergency situation where you need a tradesperson to come and fix something, what you do is you abscond yourself while they're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you go in a completely different part of the house. They come in, fix it, wash themselves. You wash everything down once they've gone.
If there's no point your mum coming because you're going to sit and chat with her. You're not going to stick her up a ladder in the loft.
Exactly. You're not going to go, right, you go in the bedroom and I'm going to go in the kitchen and you stay there an hour and then you go home. Yeah. It's, you know, and people don't think this through. They don't think through what the point of this is. And the point of this is to not to spread the virus to each other.
It's also to make people cautious, isn't it? Because they're more rope. I mean,
yeah, of course.
Where I live on the seafront today, it's packed. It's heaving because they've said you can have picnics, you can travel. It's now, you can't park outside in the road. It's, you know, cheek to jowl. Yes. And my worry is for the little shopkeepers who've been keeping us going. And as I've said every week, you know, Staines Farm in Whitstable, he's put together veg and fruit boxes. Yep. He's added a pot of marmalade. Canterbury Whole Foods, lovely guys there. Martin, again, is delivering my essential coconut milk. Wild Breadhead, based in Faversham, he's delivering. He's also got all sorts of other things like kombucha, teas and things. And then we were talking about geeks earlier off air, and you know, the amazing Rob Parker, who I use for websites, you know, at Go Vicinity in Canterbury, he's been helping us. So stuff is going on. Will Devlin of the small holding, you know, he's just bought another place on the Sussex borders. Very scary for them, but he's put together an amazing hamper, you know, which people are just doing what they can, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I know that Staines Farm, David there, is going up to London to get the amazing produce. But he said, Jules, I just wish I could have a day off. But he says, I can't. Right. You know, I can't have a day off. We've got 3 minutes, by the way.
I was going to ask. You see, I've come across some companies. I haven't used them, but I came across this and I just thought it looked lovely. It's a company called Morse Toad.
Ah, love that. Ah,
okay. And they create personalised messages in Belgian chocolate.
Oh.
Right. Packaged in a slim box that will fit through your letterbox.
Great. Okay?
And they're an ideal lockdown gift. You add your own photo plus a personal text message on the inside of the box. Their big hug chocolate message is currently the most popular. And then they deliver it via the Royal Mail through your letterbox.
You've just helped me. I just sent a crate of beer to one of our relatives. It was his birthday, lockdown. And we don't normally send presents, but because it's lockdown, we're making more of an effort. And we don't normally send presents to the grown-ups. We normally just do the nieces and nephews. And they all have their birthday. It's terrible, the Serkin family. They all have their birthday in April and May, like 10 of them. So we sent a crate of beer to Rob in Somerset. And I think I'll do this Morse Toad for Stuart in London.
Right. Do you want to know the website?
I do.
MorseToad.com.
Very, very simple and basic. Fabulous. Yeah. That's what we need. So Toad, as in Toad and Ratty, is it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So like by the riverbank, eating a bit of chocolate.
That's it.
Chilling.
Frog-like animal.
Amphibian. I like that. Very, very good. Also, I was going to say, going back to Catherine Bedford with her bike cameras, I'm going to listen, but I think they're sustainable, which I like.
Yeah, yeah.
And they save your head, which I also like.
Yeah. Talking about bikes, I've also come across a company called Hill & Ellis, and they produce a range of high quality cycle bags.
Okay.
All designed in the
UK. Good idea.
Yeah. But they're built to transition perfectly from home to carrying, to putting on your back, to putting on your bike. So basically, it's like a pannier on your bike, but you unclip it and it becomes like a carry bag or whatever.
You can put your Morse Toad in, can't you?
Right, yeah. So now we've had the Maharaja's head turban thing. We've had a fedora, and now we've got Jules in a shower cap. What's all that about?
Well, you know, lockdown. You've got to be ready. Lockdown. You've got to be ready. You know, in case my roots need doing, the essential yeah, yeah. shower cap. I hope that our listeners are keeping happy, and you know, I know it's really hard for some yeah. of them. It's all very well for us that have got gardens, but let's, you know, give a big clap to the frontline workers. I mean, the delivery drivers have been amazing.
Yeah,
and a lot of them are not delivery drivers. They're other, you know, workers, chefs and things have started to deliver, and they're looking at any work. We've done 20 minutes. So from Paul Andrews and myself for this bumptious week, we say shop local, look at your independent traders, find out from your friends support who they other. Use, support each other, and let's raise a little coffee. And I forget, it's not visual, they can't see me, but I've got a lovely little Lotus biscuit. And
she's been stealing biscuits again, listener.
And this is actually a Cornish tea.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Good.
But it's lost on the listeners. But from me and Paul, it's a big goodbye.
Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.